We're continuing our review of Romans chapter 7, my friend, so join me. Colin Cook here, and how it happens, this is a broadcast on the good news of our Savior Jesus Christ and what he reveals about his Father through his own way of life and his own way of love. And my friend, we are looking at Romans chapter 7 in review because this chapter is so vital to our mind's health. You know, we are in torment, not only because we are Christians, but because we live in a world which makes us feel inadequate or brings upon us fearful things. How do we address ourselves in peace in this world? Well, Romans chapter 7 reveals the startling truth, as Paul says, that we are delivered from the law. That's chapter 7, verse 6. And he says in chapter 7, verse 4, you have become dead to the law. Now, everything that Paul says about the Christian life starts with dying. But the wonderful thing is, it is not our dying. That is, by some discipline or ascetic living, we slowly die to the desires that we have in us, and we become slowly sanctified by the slow elimination of these desires within us, these proclivities and these bents toward evil. That's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, verse 4 again, therefore, my brethren, you have also become dead to the law through the body of Christ. It is Christ who died. It is Christ who was executed. And he was executed not for himself, but on behalf of us and our sins. He was executed for the humanity of the whole world. All who put faith in Jesus know this reality, that their present humanity, which is subject to the condemnation of the law and the judgment of the law and the screaming torment in the mind by the law, they are no longer alive to it. They are no longer subject to it. The law no longer reigns for them because they have died in the person of Jesus Christ, counted as such. Now, you see, when we are faced with this reality, we are faced with another reality, which is that I and you must fight the messages that come into our mind. You and I are in a fight, but we are not in the fight of sin, as so many Christians think of it, but in the fight against our own doubts. Your mind will tell you God is not pleased with you. Your mind will tell you you're not good enough. Your mind will tell you that you have impure ideas and thoughts in your head. Your mind will tell you that you are unacceptable to the kingdom of heaven. If you're not careful, you will think that that mind is uttering the voice of the Holy Spirit. After all, doesn't the Holy Spirit call for holiness? Yes. Doesn't he call for freedom from all of these things that torment us? Yes, he does. But how does he do it? That's the question. Remember that Satan also appeals to holiness. Did you know that? Well, I told you it yesterday, and I told you it based upon the words of Paul, where he says, Satan, taking opportunity of the commandment, produces in me all manner of evil desire. So Satan also appeals for holiness. But you see, our holiness is different from his. He's appealing to a holiness by the law. Do better, shape up, discipline yourself more, have more self-control. And all of these things that center upon us, which in fact center upon the law. But the Holy Spirit calls for a different holiness. He calls for looking to Jesus Christ. He says, he is your holiness. Rest in him. Cling to him. He will help you in your trial, in your struggle. Jesus is your friend. And so the Holy Spirit is giving a very, very different kind of message. And thus, our minds are brought into a war. The war is Do I listen to my mind of law and logic and rationality, or do I listen to my mind of faith? Not that faith is illogical, but it is based upon a different kind of logic. And so, my friend, when you look at Romans chapter 7, you're faced with the fact that you're in a fight. And it's not a fight against sin, but a fight against what your mind seems to be saying. Well, now, exactly what does your mind seem to be saying? Well, it implies that God is endlessly angry with you, endlessly in argument with you, ready to judge you at the drop of a hat, and you have very, very little chance. It's as if you have two accusers, Satan on the left and God on the right. But that's not true, is it? That's not the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus and the Father are our advocate. Paul is going to tell us in that startling chapter 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? And it is God who declares us innocent and defends us. Now then, you see, when your mind is tempted to think that God is endlessly nagging and judging you, then you are faced with the issue of who's talking to me, God or the devil. And then comes a wrestle, and it seems to be a wrestle against God, which says, I will not let you condemn me with the law, dear God. You have told me that I am dead to the law, I am delivered from the law, I will not let you condemn me by the law. And the Lord is actually, listen to me now, encouraging that wrestle. He's encouraging that wrestle, my friend, because the truth is that that voice that you heard in your head was not God's, but Satan's, posing as God. You fling yourself on the gospel. Oh, Father, I know that I have sinned. I am ashamed of my sin. I know I have failed, but I will not accept condemnation because you do not want me to be condemned by the law. Do you, Father? And the Father says, no, I don't, my son. Bounce back. Run to me. I forgive. I am full of mercy. I will help you. This is the wrestle of the Christian. This is the conflict of the Christian. It is almost unheard of in these days of, what shall we call it, but humanistic, rationalizing, psychologizing of Christianity. All Christians, my dear friend, are faced with the shadow of themselves. Not the shadow of their former selves, but the shadow of themselves now. For we are still in our sinful nature, and that's what I'll be reviewing tomorrow when we look at the second part of Romans chapter 7. But right now, understand this. You are constantly faced with the shadow of yourself, the dark shadow of yourself, the self that says, you are a hypocrite. You are a liar. You are no good. You are unworthy of the kingdom. And if you listen to that, and you are tempted to listen to it because it sounds like the law and it sounds like the Holy Spirit convicting you of sin, then you will be bowled over. You will be overwhelmed, which is why, in my opinion, most Christians, whoever were Christians, are outside of the church, not in it. They're outside of the church because they heard the law, not grace. We can't just blame the preacher, of course. They heard the law in their own minds, but didn't know how to counter it. We do. You do. I'm training your faith. I'm training mine. We counter it by knowing that we are delivered from the law. That is an astounding statement made by Paul, because it almost sounds blasphemous. It almost sounds as though he is charging God with sin in having given the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. But Paul makes it very clear. Is the law sin? No. The law is holy. The commandment is holy and just and good. But it was because The law met our human nature, which is riddled with sin, that a certain war started up as soon as these two met, the law and the sinful nature, the human nature. And it was like, as I say, a cat among the pigeons, a fox in this chicken coop, and fur flying all over the place, and we finally succumbed in panic. We don't have to do that anymore, my friend, because we are delivered from the law, not because the law was bad, but because we are broken down and we can't face it. This is where Paul says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." If you tell yourself you're delivered from the law, be sure you tell yourself why. You're not delivered from the law because the law is trivial and dealing with externals, and you've gone beyond that now because you're a spiritual being. The end of that is a lie, and it will result in spiritual pride. No, you're delivered from the law because the law is spiritual, and you are carnal. Not because the law is carnal and you are spiritual. The law is spiritual. It deals with internal things. You have heard, says Jesus, thou shalt not kill, but I tell you, whosoever hates his brother is a liar, is a murderer. And so the law deals with deep things of the heart, but my heart is broken down and corrupt. It is carnal, sold under sin. And therefore, I need to be delivered from something that will automatically condemn me the first thing, the moment it looks at me. And that's what our dear Savior Jesus has done. He took the judgment upon himself, my friend. He took the law upon himself as a human being in our place, as if he were fallen. And it judged him and condemned him. Jesus was treated as we deserve, that we might be treated as he deserves. Build your faith on that, my friend. I'm looking forward to meeting some new people on the 29th of October who listen to this broadcast, and also I'm looking forward to meeting my regular listeners, some of them anyway, at our seminar on October 29 called How to Counsel Yourself Through Romans Chapter 5. I'll tell you, my friends, this is one of the really pleasurable seminars I give because we take the Bible in hand and we start at verse 1 and we look at it and then we say, now stop. How does this speak to your mind? What does it say? And what we find ourselves doing is retraining our minds. Our minds are filled with fear. They are filled with guilt. They are filled with a false identity, or rather a true identity of who we are, but which is no longer relevant because Christ has taken it for us. And so counseling ourselves through Romans chapter 5 retrains our mind, teaches us how to think, gets rid of the lies that we constantly tell ourselves. Ah, this is going to be a real blessing to you, and you have your handbook with you already. You don't have to buy it. It is right here when you bring your Bible to the seminar. So I look forward to seeing you on October 29. I'm looking forward to spring already, I guess. October 29, my friend, at La Quinta Inn in Lakewood, 7190, that is, West Hampden Avenue, on the South Frontage Road of West Hampden Avenue between Wadsworth and Sheridan. Admission is by donation. Please give generously, but bring whatever you can. All donations are gladly accepted. And remember, we start at 9 o'clock. Come a little early for your coffee and orange juice. Get your seat. And we finish at 3:30 in the afternoon with a break for lunch. I'll see you on October 29 then, my friend. And I'll see you next time. Cheerio and God bless.